News of the United States government.
This is VOA News. I'm Christina Menenti. France was on course for a hung parliament in Sunday's election, with the leftist alliance unexpectedly taking the top spot ahead of the far right. Olivia Zolino from Reuters reports.
The leftist alliance gathers the hard left, the socialists, and Greens. They were forecast to win up to 215 seats out of 577, according to pollsters' projections. These projections are usually reliable. At the headquarters for the far-right national rally, or RN, the mood was far more somber, with early results placing them in third. The results are a humiliation for French President Emmanuel Macron. His centrist alliance, which he founded to underpin his first presidential run in 2017, was projected to be narrowly second. He called a snap election after his ticket was trounced in the European Parliament elections last month. Voters punished him and his ruling alliance for a cost of living crisis and failing public services, as well as over immigration and security.
Olivia Zolino from Reuters. Europeans are looking to safeguard NATO. AP correspondent Jackie Quinn reports.
NATO allies are starting to gather in the nation's capital, and Donald Trump appears to be high on their agenda. Observers say discussions among NATO leaders are largely focused on Donald Trump and whether the former president may be returned to power. They're said to be looking at, quote, Trump-proofing the alliance, working to make the body more self-sufficient, and taking over the U.S. role, organizing support for Ukraine. Trump has sometimes threatened to pull the U.S. out of NATO. There are also concerns over far-right parties making political advances in Europe. The NATO summit begins Tuesday in Washington, with President Biden hosting 31 allied leaders. I'm Jackie Quinn.
This is VOA News. Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, accused South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol of generating tensions on the Korean Peninsula to divert attention from problems at home, state media said on Monday. Tensions between the two Koreas are running high after Pyongyang signed a mutual defense pact with Russia and sent trash-filled balloons over the border, while South Korea has had training exercises with Japan and the United States. A Ukrainian drone strike triggering explosions in western Russia. AP correspondent Nayun Kim reports.
A village in western Russia has been evacuated after a Ukrainian drone was shot down, setting fire to a nearby warehouse. The region's governor, Alexander Gusev, said the falling debris had triggered several explosions in the Voronezh area. A Ukrainian security official told the Associated Press a strike was carried out in Voronezh on a Russian warehouse storing ammunition. Speaking anonymously, they believe the facility was being used to supply weapons to Russian troops in Ukraine. No casualties have been reported. I'm Nayan Kim.
A memorial concert was held in Kenya's capital, Nairobi, on Sunday for those killed in anti-government protests that were sparked by proposed tax hikes. David Doyle from Reuters has more.
At least 39 people died during clashes with police during several days of unrest. The protests became violent after demonstrators briefly stormed Parliament and the police opened fire. Boniface Mwangi organized this concert.
Government is listening now because of the protests. So we are kind of happy, but there's also a lot of sadness because so many people died for the government to listen.
During the concert, there were repeated calls for Ruto to resign. The government has blamed protest violence on opportunistic criminals, but activists say those responsible were thugs hired by politicians to discredit the protest movement.
Reuters' David Doyle. June 2024 was the hottest on record, the EU's climate monitoring service said on Monday, continuing a record-breaking streak.
It is likely that 2024 could be warmer than 2023. The thing is, 2023 was quite remarkable by the magnitude of the temperature that we saw in the second half of the year.
That was EU Copernicus climate scientist Julian Nicholas. He and other climate scientists blame human-caused climate change and the El Niño natural weather phenomenon. Japan and the Philippines have signed the Reciprocal Access Agreement, a defense pact, allowing their troops to enter each other's country for joint military training on Monday. It will take effect after ratification by each of the country's legislators. I'm Christina Menenti, VOA News.
morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Buffet in Washington. Today is Monday, July 8th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. ECOWAS responds to the consolidation of the Alliance of Sahel States by Burkina Faso, Mali, and Niger.
ECOWAS is still taken by its decision that any exit from ECOWAS must be along Article 91 of the ECOWAS Revised Treaty.
An update on the Kenya Broker of South Sudan Peace Initiative. Sierra Leone's parliament votes to abolish the jury system. Malawi's president condemns arrest over vice president's death.
One of the provisions is that the government can restrict online communication, but also criminalize the communication that is deemed to be not in the public interest. These are provisions which can easily be abused.
And could this week be consequential for U.S. President Joe Biden's re-election bid? Those stories plus Samson O'Malley's post are coming up on Daybreak Africa. An official of the Economic Community of West African States, ECOWAS, says the body stands by its decision that any member state wishing to leave the regional organization must give at least a 1 year notice. This after Burkina Faso, Mali, and Niger announced over the weekend that they have formed an alliance of Sahel states and are withdrawing from ECOWAS. Abdel Fadawu Musa is the ECOWAS Commissioner for Political Affairs and Security. He says that the three countries have until January 29, 2025 to reverse their decision. Meanwhile, Fadawu Musa tells me that the regional body has designated Senegalese President Bassirou Diomaye Faye to engage the three countries.
The summit also took note of the decision by the Alliance of Sahelian States, Burkina Faso, Mali, and Niger, that they are withdrawing from ECOWAS. ECOWAS is still sticking by its decision that any exit from ECOWAS must be along Article 91 of the ECOWAS Revised Treaty that enjoins a member state wishing to leave the community, you know, to give 1 year notice. So we are waiting till 29th January to see if they will have a change of heart, but we are not holding our breath. So the authority also designated the newly elected president of Senegal, Bassirou Diomaye Faye, to engage them, you know, to see where we are. Meanwhile, we are also doing our own, you know, studies in-house, contingency plans, just in case by January they have to leave, then that is it. The authority too has asked the commission, you know, that based on our proposal to organize a summit on the future of regional integration in the region, given the changing dynamic, the disruptions of geopolitical and geostrategic repositioning in the region, the security environment, and their impact on the humanitarian and economic development in the region.
Is there a division among the ECOWAS leaders in terms of what to do about this new alliance?
No. Listen, the region has a lot of sub-regional groupings. James, you know that we have Mano River Union, which also deals with the local issues pertaining to the Mano River Basin countries. We have others, even the World, the G5 Sahel, some of whom were here with ECOWAS. And the same alliance that they are creating, it was based on the Litako-Gourma Union, you know, which actually for years has been the common organization for the three countries. So we do not see a contradiction between them creating the Alliance of the Sahelian States and they being members of ECOWAS. But if they say they are withdrawing, I think ECOWAS has no other alternative but to let them go. And then both sides will pay the consequences for, you know, what will happen. ECOWAS has tried to rapprochement with them, but all the overtures from ECOWAS so far have met with death, yes, they are not responding positively, and ECOWAS cannot go on begging. So it is up to them to decide. They want to leave the organization, they are free to do so by 29th of January, according to ECOWAS's own rules and procedures of exit from the organization.
What would be the purpose of this ECOWAS force? What would it be doing specifically?
For some time now, James, the terrorist armed groups have been probing the coastal borders, and we've had attacks across the West African coastal countries from Benin all the way down to Cote d'Ivoire. This force is supposed to help to make sure that terrorism does not cross the Sahel into the coastal countries, and also to help nip terrorism in the bud from source, you know, where they are, because ECOWAS will not allow terrorism to fester on its northern border, and then we will sit down doing nothing about it.
Abdel Fattah Moussa is the Commissioner for Political Affairs and Security of the Economic Community of West African States, ECOWAS. He was speaking with us from Abuja, Nigeria. Germany's defense ministry says the country's army will end operations at its airbase in Niger by August 31st, following the breakdown of talks with the Sahel country's junta ruler. All German soldiers stationed at the base will be withdrawn by August 31st, and the military cooperation with Niger will end. The French news agency reports that the breakdown in negotiation marks Niger's latest diplomatic shift away from the West since a coup in July 2023 ousted President Mohamed Bazoum and brought the current military leadership to power. Sierra Leone's parliament has voted to abolish the jury system. The Criminal Procedure Act 2024 now awaits President Julius Maada Bio's signature. Supporters welcome the decision, saying that criminal matters should be left to judges. However, Attorney Augustin Sori Sembe Mara tells me that the jury system has been the bulwark of Sierra Leone's justice system and that justice should not be left to a single judge.
We're very, very concerned. Concerned because the jury system has been one of the cornerstones of the criminal justice system. Our justice system is built fundamentally on a presumption of innocence. And we think that these safeguards that were plugged into our criminal justice dispensation are intended to ensure that there are safety nets for people who appear before the court, especially those politically motivated prosecutions. You do not want a system where these accused persons would appear before a single judge. So all of these mechanisms were put into a legal system to ensure that there is fair trial across the board. And so once that is removed, accused persons who now appear before judges would be at the mercy of one person.
You sound like you don't trust the judges to make impartial decisions.
It's not that we do not trust judges generally. It is because we know the realities. When accused persons appear before one person with all the proclivities there are, it is very fundamental that for especially very serious offenses that these persons are tried by their peers. So it's a double layer of safety that is plugged in our system. So it's not about whether we trust or we do not trust judges.
What do you say to those who argue that criminal matters should be left to judges who are the legal minds?
I understand that. I think why in several jurisdictions we have jury systems is because the judge understands the law, but, you know, when evidence is being, you know, led before the judge and the jury, they appreciate the fact. The law goes with the facts. So, you know, the jury system essentially ensures that when 10 or more persons look at a piece of evidence and they collectively, you know, reach a conclusion that that person is guilty or not guilty, you know, numerically you can compare that with one person, however learned that person might be in the law. So this is an additional mechanism available in our laws to ensure that an accused person gets absolutely a fair trial.
President Julius Maada Bio has not yet signed this bill. Do you intend to lobby against it?
one of the leading legal research institutions in Sierra Leone. They have published a statement calling on the president not to assent the law. And so we hope that the president will listen to the many lawyers who have tweeted about this. Unfortunately, the Bar Association is in crisis, a leadership crisis, so we cannot yet have a position on this law that has been passed by Parliament.
Augustine Suri Sembeb Mara is the Sierra Leonean lawyer. He was speaking with us from the capital, Freetown. You are listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Monday, July 8th. For more Africa news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Malawi President Lazarus Chakwera has criticized the police over the recent arrest of three people suspected of circulating audio clips on social media regarding the plane crash that killed Vice President Saulos Chilima and eight others on June 10. The three are human rights activist Ban Kalindo, lawyer Kamlempo Kalua, and faith leader Reverend Kondwani Kondwe. They are on bail for allegedly committing cyber crimes by suggesting that Chilima was assassinated. But speaking Saturday during the commemoration of Malawi's 60th independence anniversary, President Chakwera asked the police to be sensitive when handling people who are in mourning. Lamek Masina reports from Blantyre.
President Chakwera spoke in the local language Chichewa, saying police should understand that during times of grief, some people are likely to say various things and do other reactions in a disorderly manner. Chakwera said in times like this, the police should exhaust all means of bringing peace and comfort to grieving people before making arrests. He says that he is aware that he does not have the constitutional powers to order the police how to conduct their duties, but he is pleading with the Inspector General of Malawi Police to ensure that the police service operates on behalf of the people and not as a force to intimidate and punish citizens. The Inspector General of Malawi Police Service, Marine Yolam, and Minister of Homeland Security, Ken Zekari Ngoma, who were present during the televised ceremony, were seen nodding in agreement to President Chakwera's remarks. Malawi's Vice President, the late Saulos Chilima, and eight others were killed in a plane crash on June 10 in northern Malawi, which aviation experts in the country connect to bad weather. However, 2 weeks later, police arrested human rights activist Boni Kalindo, lawmaker Kamlepo Kalua, and faith leader Reverend Kondwani Kondwe over the alleged circulation of criminal audio content relating to the cause of the plane crash. Aviation experts from Germany and the Malawi Defense Force are investigating the cause of the plane crash, which some people suspect was a planned accident. Michael Kayata is executive director for the Center for Human Rights and Rehabilitation. He told VOA that Malawi should repeal some provisions of its cyber crimes legislation, which he says are prone to abuse.
One of the provisions is that the government can restrict online communication, but also it criminalizes the communication that is deemed to be not in the public interest. These are the provisions which can easily be abused. And what the government is doing is actually abusing those provisions.
Kayata says the legislation contradicts the tenets of any democratic society.
And in a democracy like we are in right now, to be using those archaic and the draconian laws is actually a move in the wrong direction. People should be free to express their opinions.
The Malawi Law Society says although the arrests were a violation of human rights, to repeal the country's cybercrime legislation based on people's emotions would be wrong. Its president, Patrick Mpaka, says through local media that instead, the law enforcement agents should work to familiarize themselves with the law to avoid abusing it. For VOA Africa, I am Lamek Masina in Atlanta.
Hundreds of Kenyans gathered on Sunday in the capital, Nairobi, for a memorial concert following deadly protests over tax hikes that saw the country's leader scrap a controversial finance bill. South Sudan Information Minister Michael Makwee Luof says the new Kenya-sponsored peace initiative is progressing well. For VOA News, Juliana Saipai reports from Juba.
During a briefing on the Nairobi peace talks called the Tumaini Peace Initiative, South Sudan Information Minister Michael Makwee questioned that people should not trust unverified posts on social media about the talks.
What we are negotiating now is how best can we strengthen implementation mechanisms? How best can we implement the implementation mechanisms so that we implement the agreement? For that, not be carried away by what is usual in the social media. And when we came last time here, I stated this, that the people of South Sudan, please, don't follow whatever appears in the social media.
Albino Abbott is the head of the government delegation to the Nairobi talks and President Salva Kiir's special envoy. He says the government delegation, holdout groups and other stakeholders negotiating in Nairobi have agreed on 5 points.
What we have agreed in Nairobi with the oppositions is trust and confidence building measures. That is a protocol by itself. Economic recovery and management, which means we will have the accountability in the economy. Judiciary reform, transitional justice and accountability. 4, permanent ceasefire, security arrangement and reform. 5, humanitarian assistance. And the rest are pending and we are still negotiating. We are almost to reach an agreement with the opposition.
Martin Nabucha, South Sudan's Minister for Mining, is a member of the Tumaini Peace Initiative. He says the transitional government of national unity lacked a good mechanism and accountability. He says that slowed the implementation of the 2018 peace agreement.
When we signed the RRCs, we were alone. The international community did not come to aid us. So this time around, we said we must be in partnership with the international community. We must work together. We must rebuild our relationships so that they can support us as we walk this journey towards sustainable peace.
Makwee says the government, the opposition, and the negotiators at the Tumaini Peace Initiative have identified weak institutions and lack of funding are the two major issues slowing implementation of the 2018 peace agreement. For VOA News, I am Juliana Shafai in Juba.
This week could be consequential for U.S. President Joe Biden's re-election bid as voices continue to grow for him to lead the race amid concern over his age and the capacity to lead. So far, however, he still has the support of many of his peers, even as they acknowledge Democratic voters' worries. VOA's Veronica Barderas Iglesias reports.
U.S. President Joe Biden addressed a friendly crowd Sunday during a church service in Philadelphia. He talked about his achievements even as concerns about his age and capacity to lead continue to grow. Following his recent poor debate performance, the president has only doubled down on his determination to remain in the presidential race. He made his position clear during Friday's exclusive interview with ABC News anchor George Stephanopoulos.
I don't think anybody's more qualified to be president or win this race than me.
Biden still enjoys broad support for his re-election bid among his peers. But worries among voters are growing and were acknowledged by Democratic Senator Chris Murphy, who appeared Sunday on CNN's State of the Union show.
Not questions about his character or his decency or who he cares about or who he fights for, but questions as to whether this is still the old Joe Biden.
The decision on whether to leave the presidential race is for Biden to make, Democratic Representative Adam Schiff told NBC's Meet the Press, stressing it will be consequential for the general election.
Joe Biden is going to need to consider for his own sake and his own legacy, can he beat Donald Trump? He's the best to beat Donald Trump. But also the profound impact this decision, maybe the most important of his presidency, will have on the House, on the Senate, on the future of the country.
On Saturday, Donald Trump took to his Truth Social platform and wrote, quote, "Crooked Joe Biden should ignore his many critics and move forward with alacrity and strength with his powerful and far-reaching campaign." While the headlines have focused on Biden, Trump's vice president pick could steal the spotlight if announced this week. Republican Senator J.D. Vance is among those being considered for the job. He was interviewed Sunday on NBC.
He's got a lot of good people he could choose from. It's the policies that worked and the leadership style that worked for the American people. I think we have to bring that back to the White House.
President Biden's attention will turn to the NATO summit, which he will host in Washington starting Tuesday, while Trump is expected to rally in Doral, Florida, and Butler, Pennsylvania, this week. Veronica Valderas Iglesias, VOA News, Washington.
It is time now for Daybreak Africa Sports, and here is Samson O'Malley in Abuja, Nigeria. A very good Monday morning to you, Samson.
Good Monday morning to you too, James. We begin the sport in Paris, where Kenya's Faith Kipyegon delivered a stunning performance at the Paris Diamond League meet on Sunday, breaking her own world record in the women's 1,500 meters. With the help of two pacemakers, Kipyegon surged to the front, clocking an impressive 3 minutes 49.04 seconds, which is 0.07 seconds faster than her previous best set in Florence in June 2023. The feat comes as a timely boost for the double Olympic champion ahead of the Paris Olympics later this month.
To have come from injury and running this fast after a long time out of competition, and then coming here and breaking my own world record, it just feel amazing, and I can say I'm in the right direction towards the Paris Olympics, and this was just a start, and see how and where I am until now.
Staying with athletics, Nigeria's track and field contingent for the 2024 Paris Olympics has been named by the Athletics Federation of Nigeria, featuring a formidable roster of 35 athletes poised to compete across various disciplines. Among the male sprinters are Favour Ashe, Godsin Brume, and Kenyisola Ajayi, all set to ignite the track in the 100 meters event. Udodi Onwuzurike will bring his speed to the 200 meters race, while Odidi Okezie and Samuel Ogazi will challenge in the demanding 400 meters discipline. On the women's side, sprinters like Favour Ofili, Rosemary Chukwuma, and Tina Godbless will represent Nigeria in the 100 meters and 200 meters event. And now to football and to Southern Africa, where Angola made history with a 5-0 victory over 10-man Namibia in the final of the COSAFA Cup 2024 to claim the fourth title in the regional competition and first since 2004. It is the biggest win in a COSAFA Cup final, beating a pair of 3-0 successes for Zimbabwe over Lesotho in the two-legged decider in 2000. Pedro Goncalves, Angola coach, owed the victory to the belief of his players.
Thanks for my Braves players. They working a lot. They keep the faith. As I said, they believe in the future.
For the Namibian coach Colin Benjamin, the loss was painful, but commended his boys for getting to the finals.
I'm honestly so proud and full of admiration of those boys. The intensity and the coachability they brought to this tournament, the hunger that they brought to this tournament was just commendable. They've got all these odds against them, adversity, disparities against them. But they came and they prevailed.
Mozambique claimed the bronze medal when they edged Comoros 3-2 on penalties following an entertaining 2-2 draw in the third-place playoff. And that's it for this Monday's edition of Daybreak Africa Sports. I am Samson O'Malley in Abuja, Nigeria. It's back to you, James, in Washington.
Thank you, Samson. Have a good Monday. And that's it for this Monday, July 8th edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for beginning your week with us. For more Africa news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are also on YouTube, where you can watch our TV shows, Africa 54, Straight Talk Africa, and Red Carpet. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa team, I am James Barty in Washington, wishing that you will have a great week.
As journalists
journalists continue to report on complex and difficult topics, including conflict and human suffering. Studies like the one done by the Harvard Kennedy School indicate it's increasingly exposing them to trauma and affecting their mental health. On this week's edition of Our Voices, we will explore how mental health is discussed in the media and why female journalists are at a higher risk. Join the conversation Wednesdays at